You know, we don't have to be afraid of losing our freedom.
Family man. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Scott is going good. But hey, before we get going, before I forget, we're going to pray for my mother-in-law, Barbara. She's in a surgery right now. Maybe a month and a half ago, maybe a hair longer. I mean, it's been a hard row to hoe for her. She just lost her husband of 60 years about, 4 or 5 weeks ago. She has lots of health things that she's like discovered. I mean, she went in for a colonoscopy kind of because she was having some issues. They said there's some cancer there. They scheduled it. But then they found a heart murmur kind of thing going on, and she's had some teeth issues and she has an eye issue. But right now, as we speak or as we record this, she is in surgery. They're taking out a portion of the colon, I guess, and kind of looking. Let's just pray right now for her. Father, I know that when most of the guys listen to this, this will be over, but I just pray right now that, you would be with the doctors, and I know they're even using a robot. I pray that you'd be with a robot and the surgery to go smoothly. I pray that they would find nothing unexpected and that the recovery would be good. And that most of all, I just pray that my mother-in-law would feel your presence and that you would encourage her, because I know it is overwhelming at times. And I thank you, Father, even in these overwhelming times, you are with us and we have nothing to fear. And we just pray all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So going back to how's it going, Todd? Things are going pretty good.
It's got to be the first time we've ever prayed for a robot on this show.
I know, but God can deal with a robot. So it's called like the Da Vinci robot or something, I guess. I think it does the whole thing. And my nephew, who's a whatever he is, he's a medical biologist, smart guy. He said, oh, that's really good because they're really good and that makes the recovery so much nicer. So we're hoping that will be the case. I don't know, but it's called Da Vinci, so it must be smart, right?
Yes.
Well, this is the week that comes around every single week of the year, every week at this time every year when my family, my brothers and my sister and their children and my mom and dad come to Lake Wawasee, which is about 15 minutes from us, for the annual vacation. And it is so exhausting. I mean, it's just, the kids are growing up, so it's not quite as chaotic, but it is a lot of fun. The kids stay up late and they want to get there early so they can enjoy the fun. And we just are running a little ragged because Debbie and I, we just got back from Florida. And we had a great time there. We went down, Scott. It was a great time and it was a great event. But it was a little weird because, my good friend, Michael Costa, who's listening, I just saw him briefly while we were down there and we talked a little bit, through masks, because you know, the whole world is wearing masks now. It was one of those events that had been postponed and finally canceled. Then I got a phone call and said, hey, we're going to put together something on the weekend. There's going to be a bunch of graduates there, homeschool graduates. And I said, hey, I'd love to be a part of it. And then Michael writes like a week out, like, is it a virtual event? And I'm like, I don't think so. I'm going to be there. And so I write and text back and forth and they're like, yes, it is a virtual event. And I said, so am I planning to be there in person? Because I've already got a hotel and a flight and all that. And they said, yes. And I'm like, in person. I'm going to be there in person, right? I'm going to be there. And they're like, yes. And so we went, and it was kind of like a QVC weekend. They had speakers, myself, Heidi St. John, Dr. Kathy Cook. And if you've never heard Dr. Kathy Cook, she's really amazing. And they had some others, and Kathy Albers. But it would be like we'd speak, and then they'd have, you know, the MC in between, she'd go. It felt like, well, we've got three bracelets for sale right now. We're going to auction those off right now. But she'd kind of give a little commercial. And so it just went on through the whole day. So we were doing Q&As. But my schedule was so wonderful because I had lots of time in between. So like I didn't have to speak till like 11:30 and then 4 and then or 7. And then so my wife and I got some pool time, and nobody hardly was at the pool. And we just had a really relaxing time. It was fun. Even though when we checked in, we went to the Rosin Center Hotel. And there are about 7 giant hotels in the Orlando kind of, what's it called, International Drive area around convention centers. And they're super nice, but they're all owned by this Rosin family. But we checked in on Friday night. And I was supposed to be through Monday, and we get there on Friday, and they said, I look at my little thing that they gave me, and I said, well, it has me checking out on Sunday, and I'm not leaving till Monday. And she goes, well, the hotel's closing on Sunday. And I'm like, for how long?
Would have been good to know earlier.
She said, until January. And I'm like, you're kidding me. What am I supposed to do? And they said, well, I think they've already arranged for you to go to another Rosin hotel, which they had, which was just down the street. And it was an easy exchange. And they were both amazing hotels. But it was really neat because I had heard that the owner was coming in to talk with the people who were organizing this event. And just because it had been a long road to hoe, and this guy, I guess, who owns these hotels, was coming to talk to them, and it was a big deal. And I didn't think much about it, but as I was checking out on Monday morning, I was walking out to this, out to the parking lot, and there was a guy parked, and just where everybody else parked, and just a normal car. He gets out, but he looks impeccably dressed. He's like 75, 80 years old, you know, white slick back hair. He's got this kind of colorful shirt with, you know, that looks starched and crisp linen pants. And he's got like loafers on, expensive Italian loafers with pink socks. But what struck me is that as he's walking in, there's this like puddle of water because it had rained the night before. There was a puddle, and he reaches down and he pulls up this wadded, gunky napkin out of the puddle. And I said to him, I said, you're the owner, aren't you? And he goes, pardon me? I said, you own this place. And he goes, I do. And I just said, thanks for a great stay. And I said, I hope the world returns to normal for you soon. But I just thought it was so cool because, I mean, he cared. He cared about providing, you know, for his guests. And it was, I don't know. I thought it was kind of a cool moment. We had a great time. My wife and I had a great time. It was refreshing. I'll tell you, if you want a good, cheap getaway, as soon as you get off this thing, fly to Florida. Because it is so cheap right now. My wife and I flew our round trip tickets from Indianapolis to Florida for two of us. Combined total was $120. And the hotel we stayed in was the Rosin Plaza. Beautiful hotel. Great swimming pool. Was $60 a night. And I said to the lady, I said, man, that's a pretty cheap price. Is it normally that? She goes, oh, no. She goes, normally it's over $300 a night. And so, and, you know, the airplane wasn't packed. You didn't feel claustrophobic. You know, like if you're worried of the Rona, you don't have to be because you don't have to be around anybody. And it was a super good deal. So
did you have to wear masks on the airplane?
You had to wear masks everywhere.
Yeah.
Yes. You had to wear a mask on the airplane. You had to wear a mask in the hotel. They just started that. They did a temperature check when you walked in. We went to Disney Springs, which is like the rest, it's like a shopping restaurant area at Disney World. It's free. You can go in, you know, walk around. And it was depressing. It was depressing. So,
so go to Florida, have a fun, depressing vacation.
No, but you could go just hang around the hotel the whole time in the pool. It was awesome. They still have, you know, outdoor eating and, but there are a lot of them that are closed. That was sad to me, you know, because this International Drive is a super touristy, bustling area. You know, that's where SeaWorld is and Universal Studios is nearby. And you've got Disney that's close by. And then you've got all these little go-kart places and, you know, pseudo water parks and sky zone diving things, you know, where they have the big fans and just lots of touristy things. And lots of them were just shut down because nobody's going.
So they like prop up mannequins in a room for you to pretend like you had an audience when you were speaking?
No, that was kind of weird. That was actually kind of weird because the first time I was in this giant room, it probably held 500 or 600 people. And, you know, there were 8 people in it who were doing camera things. And then they had it in like a hotel suite, which was even weirder because you're real close to it. And there are people just like hanging out in the back, you know, they're like doing cameras or they're just whispering to each other and just sitting there on their phones. And you're going, well, hey, and point number 3.
You know, I so wish I was there. I'd be like heckling from the back and just loving it, man.
Well, that's how you destroy a speaker. If you're ever in that situation, yeah, as they're speaking up there, you don't even have to heckle them. You just pull out your phone and you look like you're bored on it. You know, like you could care less.
I don't think I told this story on here. It's not my story. Andy Andrews, who's one of my favorite authors, he used to tour with Kenny Rogers and he's done like the Women of Faith conferences and stuff.
Oh yeah.
So when Kenny Rogers died a few months ago, whenever that was,
right,
Andy told this story about how he was doing stand-up comedy warming up for Kenny and I forget who else was on the tour, a whole bunch of other big stars, you'd know their names. Well, they played in some French-speaking city in Canada, whatever one still speaks French. And
Quebec.
And they were going to have a French comedian open up for them because they needed somebody who could speak French. Well, he canceled at the last minute and Andy had to do his thing. He wanted to do his comedy in English.
Wow.
And he described it as like, there's nothing that, you know, like performers who do this all the time, you know, who like Kenny Rogers and whatever, what they want to see is either absolutely amazing, blow your socks off, awesome, or they want to see the train wreck of all time.
Right.
And so that night was the train wreck. And basically no one laughed at a single joke Andy made all night, except about 10 seconds after they were supposed to laugh, he heard Kenny Rogers and this small group of people in the back howling with laughter because nobody laughed at his jokes.
That would be
brutal. Me for
brutal.
You.
Brutal. Yeah, that's right. And so, but it was really kind of quite the experience, and it way better than, you know, a webinar where you're doing it like I'm sitting here now. It was just, I like the interaction, but it was not as much fun as giving a 50-minute talk just staring at your computer monitor.
Yeah, that would be weird. I mean, I've seen you at the homeschool convention with a packed room with people like sitting on the floor and stuff, and you seem to thrive on that.
Yeah, well, it's just more fun. It just feels like, oh, we're having a party, you know, as opposed to we're having a party and nobody came.
You're like, hello, is this thing on?
Yeah, and that's how it feels like. Hello, viewers. So, how are you doing, Scott?
I'm holding it together, man.
Are you?
Things are a little weird. My wife and I have gotten to the point of asking, hey, do you think it's ever going to go back to some sort of, like, do you think we'll get to next year and look back and go, boy, that was a weird year. Glad things aren't like that anymore.
I hope so. And really, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, because I was even telling my wife, you know, we're still, when you go to the airport, you go through TSA, and that was all started on 9/11, you know, right after that. And they still do that. So maybe there will be some things that hang over. But here, you know, and that's what I thought we'd talk about, Scott. because I'm tired of this. And again, I made my little vow, which I've made several times already. I'm not gonna do the news anymore. I'm just tired of it. Because the news is crazy. I feel like, if Heidi St. John, she was one of the speakers. I mean, if you go to her Facebook page, I mean, she's on the edge of, you know, being a, I don't know what she's going to be, but arrested maybe. Because she can't stand it anymore. And really nobody can. I mean, a lot of people are at that point. I was talking to a guy who had, the coronavirus, he and his wife, and he was saying his wife had posted some things and had said, kind of talk like, man, this is pretty, it's pretty difficult to make it through kind of thing, but we're doing okay. And he was saying it was nothing. He said, and he looked around the edge to make sure his wife wasn't watching. And he goes, I mean, she kind of made it sound like it was really hard, but it wasn't. And he said, you know, and he wasn't downgrading that other people haven't had things and died, right. You know, and when we say that, it sounds like we're making light of it. But the truth is people are dying, are always dying. In fact, now I think the death rate this time of year is the same as it was last year and the year before, and the death rates continue to go down. But people still are doing this crazy holding on to it. Like Indiana on Monday, we went to mandatory masks everywhere, even though the cases are going down, everything's going down. Maybe I shouldn't say cases. Cases might still be rising a little bit or leveling out, but everybody's being tested. And like you said on last week's show, Scott, I just am hearing this little story of I went to get tested. I got out of line because I just couldn't wait any longer. And they said I tested positive, which I didn't even test.
Yeah.
You know, and so it is crazy. But I did think, you know, there is a role for us dads to play in this because there is so much fear. And it's not founded always on truth, because people would say, you know, they've told us from almost the beginning that our masks are not to protect ourselves, but to protect someone else in case we have it, right? But everybody's wearing it and they're saying things that makes it sound like we're protecting us at the same time, which is not true. And so they're saying things that are not true. But the fear is rampant. And sometimes, though, it goes both ways. There's a fear of the virus. And I saw people, acting scared, you know, wiping down everything. And even though they've told us that it is not from contacting things, you can't get it from touching things. I heard an expert on NPR, which is secular, you know, left leaning radio. And they said, oh yeah. He goes, this expert says you can't get it from doorknobs and railings and things that you touch. He says it's airborne. And even that, he said you had to be close to him and you had to be with him a long time. It's not that casual. People aren't getting it at a Walmart. You know, they're getting it. And even when they get it, it's not that bad for most people.
That guy has been disappeared from the internet.
He probably has. And he was on their show. Yeah. It blew the host away. She was like, now do I need to be afraid of opening my mail? And he goes, no. He goes, you don't have to be afraid of touching things. He goes, I wouldn't worry about it. And she was like, really?
And then she was like, you know, and just, she just next, couldn't, a 10-part series on why that doctor's crazy and you shouldn't listen
exactly.
to him.
Exactly. You know, and that's part of the craziness. Yeah. So there's that fear where people are, are just afraid of everything. But there's also, I think, a fear, and you might attest to this too, Scott. There's this fear that is on the other side. Because I keep hearing this, you know, I love our freedom. I don't want to lose our freedom. I have the fear of losing our freedom, you know, and that's true. I mean, I can feel that, but the thing is, it's still fear, you know, and fear is not a good thing. I mean, the Bible talks about it. We're not supposed to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. And the reason we don't have to be afraid is, you know, because God's in control of the whole thing. Even, you know, that very simple, Psalm 23 that we all had to know, even though we don't know word for word, we all kind of mumble through it, you know, you know, and he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, we don't have to be afraid of losing our freedom. We might lose our freedom. You know, the Israelites spent 400 years enslaved, and you know, the Jesus with the that time to the Romans, and they kept wanting him to lead them out of that, and he didn't. So maybe we will lose some things. I hope we don't. I hate it, and it makes me mad. But we don't have to be afraid. And that's the thing I was thinking, Scott, that we as dads, you know, in Titus chapter 2, it says the older men are to be solid in faith, solid in perseverance, and in love. You know, we should be those things. And we've talked about it before. We're to be the ones who are solid in faith and not being afraid. And I don't know if our families look at us like and go, okay, Dad, what are we supposed to do? But I think they are always looking at us, you know, watching us to see how we're going to handle these certain situations. And I know, you know, when Dad starts to freak out, everybody starts to tremble. Then, you know, you're in trouble. And maybe even when we freak out, it signals to our kids that God's not in control.
My wife and I have been struggling a little bit with just how do we communicate in front of our kids about this stuff? And part of my problem is that I've tried to limit my, even before all this started happening, I had pulled back from social media and wasn't doing much on there. And I'm really glad I did that, because there have been times when I've gotten real close. Yesterday, in fact, I almost went on an absolute rant, and I stopped myself and just said, nope, nothing good is going to come of that. Just blasting my opinions all over Facebook, you know? But consequently, I have no one I can really talk to about this except my wife or, you know, my kids. And they're getting old enough that they like processing this stuff and they get all excited too.
Right.
But sometimes I talk in front of my kids or with my kids even, and I'm still processing exactly, well, what do I think about this? How, you know, how far is too far? Where am I going to, what hill am I going to die on?
Right.
And, you know, how mad should I be about masks and all that stuff, whatever it is. Yeah. And my wife ends up feeling like she's having to be the calm one in the relationship, and and she's having to set the rules. 'Cause like, even just as an example, trying to figure out going to church, at first they had made it mask optional for our services, and you know, we hadn't really come together as a united front in saying what we're going to do. And so she felt she was fighting me and the kids just to see if we could go to church. And it's like, okay, I probably do need to take the lead and work with my wife to be united as far as, look, kids, this is what we're going to do. Everything's going to be fine. You know, like, 'cause otherwise I'm just creating chaos in the home, and that's not helpful.
Right. Well, and I think you're right on. I mean, I do think they look at us as, I always just think about, you know, driving in the car. I love it when, or in the RV, when I'm driving and everybody else is asleep, and they just feel somehow confident or comfortable or content and at peace knowing that I'm in this driver's seat. You know, they don't worry about me falling asleep or worry about me, you know, taking them to the wrong place. They just fall asleep. And I love that feeling. And I want to be that in this too, and just say, hey, it's okay. You know, and I know there are some who are, I got an email this past week from a dad who said, I'm not doing good, Todd. I'm not doing good in this whole thing. He goes, these mask things are just making me crazy. I don't believe they're doing what they're supposed to. I don't feel like they're telling me the truth. And logically it doesn't seem like it is. And he goes, but I don't know. He goes, I don't want to be this guy who just rebels against it, you know, and is just angry all the time. And really, I prayed for him, and I hope he prayed for me, because sometimes I feel that way as well. Because I think there is somehow a sense, maybe because we are freedom-loving Christians, and because we do have freedom in Christ, And we've had freedom in this country for so long. We don't like people telling us what to do. But there is that sense, you know, on that side where, you know, even when Jesus, when he holds up the coin and he says, basically, give to Caesar what's Caesar's and give to God what's God's, you know, and people will say, yeah, but, you know, if they make us wear masks one day, they're going to make us get the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, wearing a mask is different than wearing the mark of the beast. So, you know, I don't know if you can go to that extreme right off the bat. You know, if they say you have to mandatory or you have to have mandatory, you have to wear seatbelts. I'm okay with that. That's the law, you know, and if it's a law, even if they'll say, well, it's not a constitutional law, you can't make people wear. I'm not going to argue. I'm just going to, I don't like it. And underneath my breath, I'll be saying this is stupid, you know, the whole time. But I'm still going to do it. You know, my wife and I had this kind of conversation at the hotel, and I might have pulled it down farther because it was uncomfortable. I couldn't, it was harder to breathe. But again, I don't want, I'm afraid that if I decide that I don't think this is, you know, they have the right, I don't want my kids to decide on other laws that they don't have the right to, you know, to tell me whatever. And even like I've had, you know, this conversation with one of my kids, we were talking about, maybe it was the speed limit. And he was just saying how he had some, he was talking to somebody who drove really fast on the highway. And it was kind of like expected, like you could, it was speed limit 65 or 70, you could go 90. And I'm like, yeah, but you know, that's not the law. And he was like, I know, Dad, but everybody else is doing. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not the law. And I you know, I don't want my kids to question those things because those laws have been placed there by the government, which has been placed there by God, even the bad laws, I think, as he has said. So I don't know. I just know there's a role for us dads to be in here. And maybe we're supposed to be with the ones who are the calming effect, like you said, Scott. Not our wives. And maybe we even put our wives in a bad place if we expect them to be the ones who do that.
Well, I tell you what, it doesn't go well, you know, in terms of marital communication, if you're letting her make all the decisions and lead the way in this. So be of good cheer and take the lead, dads.
Yeah. And even like, I can remember Michael Costo saying, you know, my wife wants me to lead. And this is, I mean, he was not just speaking for himself, but he was speaking for all of us dads. Our wives want us to lead, but then they get upset that we led, you know, and they go, why did you do that? I'm like, well, you wanted us to lead.
That never happens in my house.
Yeah. We're having one of those things right now. But I do think somehow, when we dads not forcefully put our foot down and say, hey, this is what we're going to do. But if we could say it, you know, in a gentle way and say, hey, I know you may not be real excited about this. Like, you know, even whether it's going to church or whatever, but you say, hey, you know, but we're going to. So let's get in the car. Yeah. And even if they, I think I've had my wife, I don't know if your wife has said this, but sometimes in retrospect, my wife will say later, and she may not say it to me, but she'll say, I was so glad Todd made me, you know. I can remember there were times where, you know, where I'd say, hey, we got to go do this. And she goes, I'm not going. I said, well, you know, we got to go. And she goes, I'm not going. They said these things and they were hurtful and mean. I'm like, honey, we have to go. If I have to pick you up and carry you, we are going. And she kind of fights me a little bit, you know, like, I'm not gone. But those are the things that she has bragged on me to other people later, you know. And so she doesn't brag. She's not bragging at the time. It doesn't feel like bragging. No bragging. but somehow I think our wives respect us for being the dads, being the husbands, you know. So
anyway. It ain't easy,
McGee. But it's good. This is totally off the subject. I've been working on the You to Dad daily calendar. We're getting ready for 2021, I guess that's right. 2021, same thing. But I was today, Scott. Oh, we should play it at the end. I had just said something like, oh, it was in late May. And I said, oh, this weekend would be a great weekend to, you know, get the kids out to wash one of the cars or do something like that. And then I said, oh, and I was thinking of the song, car wash song.
Uh-huh.
That the car wash, huh? Yep. And so I YouTubed it, and it was so much fun to listen to. This is a cool song.
It is.
So anyway. Well, hey, Dad, we're out of time. I just want to thank you again for being part of the team. You know, it's a great thing. It's not easy. We blow it, and we don't lead like we should. We do freak out. But I do think they're looking at us. Your kids and your wife, they're looking at you to see how you're going. You know, I think of the captain at a ship, you know, when the waves and the storm is, and, you know, out in the gloom is the captain standing at his wheel with his little slicker on, and everybody else is down below. Everybody else is cowering, but he stands there and he steers the ship. And I think that's what my family wants from me. So if you're afraid of the coronavirus, you don't have to be. I mean, not only to the statistics and all that, they're just not pointing at anything that you need to be afraid of. And I don't know about you, Scott. I mean, don't you hear people? You'll hear someone died, and they'll say they were died in a car wreck, and you're like, oh yeah, I forgot people died that way now. And we just assume that every death is another coronavirus. So you don't need to be afraid, not just statistically, but God has got you and your family. And then on the other side, you don't have to be afraid of what we might lose. I mean, I still get that weirdness when we haven't, you know, all the our events were canceled. And I'm, you know, I'm concerned sometimes in the fall or next spring. And I think, oh man, we can't do that again. But I don't have to be afraid, because God said he was going to take care of us and he was going to meet all our needs. And he has so amazingly. And I don't have to be afraid of freedoms being taken care of, because I know God is in control of this whole thing. So maybe we dads are the no fear dads, but have a great week. Stay off the news, because it spawns fear and increases it. And do something with your family, you know, this weekend. Maybe wash the car or tidy up the yard, or, you know, take advantage of these summer days, because the summer's not over yet. Well, I mean, it's not even August yet. So we're still enjoying summer. Maybe go to the lake or the beach or somewhere like that, where you don't have to wear a mask, and enjoy God's best for family. And do it all because you to Dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.